Time to get our weekly view from the north. Finest work for Comcast SportsNet. On the tube, talking ball, Comcast Channel 737 in high def. Go to csnnw.com. You can also check out his Facebook page, providing you articles and videos. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle Aaron J. Ventress. AF, how are you?
You called me in the middle of a major meltdown in my house. I got to tell you this story real quick. So,
go ahead.
My daughter backtalked a little bit to mom, and so I took her phone from her for 15 minutes, and she flipped out, became even more disrespectful and crazy. And so I kept doing a count up. I was like, okay, now it's 20 minutes. Okay, now it's half hour. Now it's 45 minutes. It built all the way up to 3 hours. She would not shut up. It went from 15 minutes to 3 hours. It's about to go to a week. She keeps talking.
Now,
then the phone rang.
All right, so I got to follow this up. If you're a child of the 80s, are you familiar with the movie The Breakfast Club?
Yes.
Okay, when Bender started going after the teacher, and he goes,
yeah.
he asked him, well, how many is that? And the nerdy kid said, no, it was 7. Then when he asked you if you raided Barry Manilow's wardrobe, he kicked it up to 8.
I got you for 2 months, Bender. 2 months. You're mine. Yeah, that's where this is going.
3 hours without a phone. I'd run away from home. By the way,
she's 11. She's freaking out right now.
How old is she?
Monster.
How old is she?
11.
Oh. All right. Well,
she's down there arguing with mom about it right now, like she's an attorney. I didn't do anything. It's only me.
All right. Well, I wish you and your wife sanity.
I appreciate it.
I want to get to the NBA Finals, but real quick, I know you're kind of involved in the pulse when something happens, particularly Portland related, particularly Trailblazers related. Obviously, you're going to hear from colleagues, you're going to hear from fans. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, and radio guy Antonio Harvey were let go. So rather than analyze an analyst, with you being wired in, how would you describe the reaction of the fans and those you've heard from?
Oh, people are surprised. Fans, of course, some are freaking out. I mean, they've been doing it for over 10 years,
right?
And, you know, when you get used to someone's voice and you feel like they're a part of the team, when they're your conduit between your couch and the team, when you're unable to go to Boda, obviously they don't travel with the team, so, or the fans don't. So that's a huge connection that you build. And then when all of a sudden a suit basically comes along and yanks that from you, you feel like betrayed. Like, hey, what are you doing? We like these guys. And people in the industry didn't see it coming either. It's interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do moving forward, what their plan is. McGowan, the CEO, president of the Blazers, was on the radio yesterday saying that they have a plan and they think fans will probably like the plan. But right now there's that sort of trepidation as to what are they doing, what are they thinking. So clearly, definitely, those two were pretty beloved. I'll speak of Mike and Mike mainly.
Yeah, we figured it was 75% against and about 25% who were either it's okay or didn't really care. That's, based on our calls, texts, and Twitter yesterday. So
right. We'll
see. So real quick thought, I read about Damian Lillard was asked about his interest in the Olympics. And I've always said, first of all, if I rooted for a team other than the Knicks that was good, I would not want players doing anything during the offseason, world championships or Olympics, because you're getting that $20 million to pursue an NBA title. As far as I'm concerned, the dream team, the redeem team, point proven. You have any strong feeling one way or another about NBA guys playing in the Olympics, or should it be college players?
Totally for NBA guys playing, especially. I remember the '88 team losing with Mitch Richmond and David Robinson. They got spanked by the refs.
They did.
They got taken to school. So I've always been for it. The whole thing about fatigue. These guys play basketball anyway. It's not like they spend the whole summer on the beach. Like, they work out anyway, It's not like they have to kill themselves for the Olympics. Clearly, they work hard, and you want to be the best you can be, et cetera, et cetera. But I just don't see how, where most of the games your star players only have to play 20, 22, 23 minutes, is going to really wear them out that much. And as far as Lillard goes, he hasn't made a bunch of deep runs through the playoffs yet, so he shouldn't, and he's still young, he's 24, 25. He should be someone who's being worn out by this. So I think, you know, clearly if you're a team that has a veteran, you know, is in his early 30s or mid 30s, that might be cause for, you know, alarm. Like, okay, you've been playing 10 years in the league and you're getting up there and you've been battling some tendonitis and an ankle issue. You know, we kind of want you to just chill. I can see that. But for guys who are healthy and rolling along, get out there and play, man. It's what you are. You're a basketball player.
All right. Well, maybe I'm just a cynical Knicks fan who hasn't won a title since 73, and I figured once they get good, somebody will go to the Olympics, tear his knee up, and that'll be that.
How many times has it happened, though? We saw Paul,
of course it never happens. I'm insane.
Yeah, exactly. George broke his leg, and he came back better than, you know, just as good as he was before. So guys recover.
All right. I want to get to the NBA Finals, talking with Aaron Fentress, Comcast Sportsnet. Nothing makes sense. We get suspensions and injuries. We had two guys, teammates, go for over 40. So what we saw Monday, does it have any meaning for tonight, any lessons? Or like most of the games we've seen in the playoffs, no, there's like no carryover. Every game's an entity unto itself.
Well, what was Kyrie in that game? Was he like 17 for 20?
25, I think.
Like,
he's ridiculous.
Okay, so if he was 17 for 25 in that game, that means today he's going to go 7 for 27.
Right, the equalizer.
There's the balance out. Okay, if you're a Cleveland fan, you're hoping that you don't have to get 82 from those guys, that other people step up, but it was really difficult to imagine that they're going to be able to pull off something that's only happened once before, and that was Monday. If it was the greatest performance ever by a duo in the finals, that's correct, right? Isn't that the
Oh, yeah. No guys have ever gone 40-plus same team.
Okay. So then you can't really expect that to happen again. So you better get some other guys involved. Also, the shooting percentage, you expect that to come back down. If you have a great game, you're probably going to have a bad game. Now, they are going to be at home. Golden State did lose Bogut, which doesn't help their cause at all. So I would expect that they'll play a good enough game to win this game. And I think LeBron, to me, I said this at the beginning of the series, LeBron has to freaking dominate. He can't go out there and go 21, 10, and 9, and go, ooh, almost a triple-double, and everyone goes, oh, LeBron's great. No, he needs to be in the 30s for them to win. And in both games they won, he scored 38 and 42. Is that right, 41?
41,
is that correct?
Yeah, 41.
Yeah, so that's what he needs to do. He needs to be that guy, that give me the ball, get out of my way, I'm carrying this team guy, and then hope everything else falls in place around them if they're going to win. But I would not bet on Kyrie having that type of game, but I do think he'll have a solid game, one, because he's at home, and two, because I think he knows he owes Steph Curry, and Curry can't guard him.
With Draymond Green out in Game 5, he's back. We know what a cog he is. And you mentioned briefly they missed they're done. Bogut's done for the series.
Right.
A lot of people are like, yeah, they're getting Green back, but losing Bogut's not that big a deal. And I'm like, yeah, but he's a starter. He plays minutes. He's important to their defense. I mean, how much of an impact do you think losing him, despite getting Green back, has?
Well, he's been great really early in games. He starts, and he's a defensive presence early. So maybe not having that in the way of Cleveland helps them get off to a good start. I mean, I guess that could be something that could help them. But as far as the overall, you know, in terms of what's going to happen in the second half when the game's on the line, he's usually not that much involved unless it's for a specific matchup. So I see what people say it's not going to be that big a deal. I think it'll hurt a little bit, but I don't think it'll be the reason why they lose the series if they were to lose it. So that's sort of my line of thinking. Like, he's good, and he serves a role, but he's not a big enough piece of their puzzle for me to make them believe they're going to win the series because he's gone.
All right. I've concocted a theory that every once in a while the basketball gods, it might be the football gods this time, basketball, looks down at us and challenges our loyalty. And they've been saying, so you guys have really watched all these playoffs with a record number of 25-point blowouts. And this is going to be their way of saying, here's your reward that we're going to get two killer games. Any logic?
I hope you're right. I do think we've been trending towards that. The last game was pretty good. And the fact that Cleveland was really strong on the road, and then Golden State before that was really strong on the road, I think it's balancing out to where now we're going to have a really close, tight fought game that Cleveland's going to win, and it's going to go back to Golden State. And the same thing's going to happen in terms of a close game, but then the Warriors win. So I'm thinking along the same lines you are that we're going to get that.
All right. Well, if not, I'm bringing legal action.
no kidding.
Final thought, just when you thought it was safe to think about something else, I saw you wrote about Duck football recruiting. And you wrote, they're picking up steam, and obviously it's June. Everything's in the future. But overall, you think we've reached kind of a critical juncture, and if the Ducks are to get back in the race for the league and nationally, as much as we're joking about it now, that they need an uptick?
Yeah, I mean, they need to improve their recruiting. I mean, last year, this class, the 2016 class, was ranked in the high 20s. That's not going to cut it, because as I've said before, everyone's catching up with the spread. Everyone's catching up with the no-huddle offense. Everyone else is doing it. You know, it's losing its potency. And so you better have high-end talent now. They won with middle talent in 2010, and Chip Kelly started getting some high teens recruiting classes, and they won with that. Clearly, they won with the Heisman Trophy winner, and they've had some really good classes, you know, here and there. But, you know, to have a bad class last year, not bad, but a mediocre class for them, and then now to get off to a slow start, and this class finishes in the high 20s again, then you start seeing the impact of being a talent-deficient team in terms of competing against the rest of the Pac-12, which are putting together better classes, and then trying to go outside the Pac-12. And I know Ducks fans don't want to hear it, and they think that they're built for the next 100 years, they're going to be contending for Pac-12 titles, but let's not forget, the Ducks have won one Pac-12 title in 4 years. It's not like Oregon's been rattling them off. They won those three in a row, and then they won one in 4 years. This is real. Mariota only won one.
Yeah, forget about that, because they went to a major.
Yeah, exactly. People act like he rattled off a bunch of them. But the bottom line is they won one in four, and there's no reason to believe that they might only win one of the next four or five. And they better get that talent level up, and we got to get rid of this myth, oh, they can win with anything. Oh, they won with two-star guys, three-star guys. Those days are done, because – the impact of the offense is not the same. It's not a shock to people anymore when you had, you know, decent but not great guys on offense and defense, especially the offensive line. They got to keep raising the talent level and to maintain where they want to be. And so when they start off like this with two recruits and everyone else has got six or seven, it looks weird. Now they're up to five. Most teams in the conference have 6 to 8. Arizona has 15, which is amazing. It's not that big a deal in terms of numbers now. They're going to add more guys, but if you're a Ducks fan, you want to see them finish in the high teens, I would think, at least. You want to be 17, 18, 19 nationally when they're done.
Well, everybody who was listening to this and you want to check it out, I thought there was some interesting stuff there, csnnw.com, and just navigate around, hit on Ducks, and you'll find it there on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. I wish you so much luck going back to your 11-year-old. You have no idea.
Wait, can I stay for another segment?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron, let's do the radio thing. Hey, could you stick around for another segment? Hey, man, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk next week.
All right, take care.
Take it easy. Don't send me back to my 11-year-old.